The Bible tells us that it's good to leave an inheritance to our children. How we do that is still a matter of some discussion. I am Rob West. We often talk about the importance of having a will, and while that's certainly true, there's a bit more to putting your estate in order. I'll talk about that today with financial teacher and author Ron Blue. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, my friend and mentor Ron Blue is co-founder of Kingdom Advisors and the author of many books on personal finance, including Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives. It's the best book on this topic. You need to pick it up if you haven't already. Ron, great to have you back with us.
No, good to be here, Rob. Thanks for asking me.
Absolutely. Ron, you've talked about this and written on wealth transfer a lot, and I know you've identified the six steps of estate planning and wealth transfer that are essential. We will get to this list, but first, you compare in the book this whole process to following a recipe. Explain that for us.
Well, when you follow a recipe, you follow it sequentially. You do step one, step two, step three.
Yeah,
I use the illustration of baking a pie, for example. You don't just throw the ingredients in the pan and cook and hoping it turns out okay. But there is a process. And what I find, Rob, is that most people jump to the end of the process and ignore the front part of the process. And the end of the process would be an estate plan, something that's documented. But the beginning of the process is more important than that, because the estate plan that you end up with should follow some rational, legitimate thinking that leads you to having the right document at the end of the process.
Oh, that's really good. And it really starts with the why before the how. And I know these steps will uncover those key issues. You know, these decisions aren't easy, as you know, Ron, which is probably why so many people put this off. But I think this list in a sequential order perhaps will help folks get started in these wealth transfer decisions. So what is step number one?
Well, step number one is you only have three places where an estate can go.
Yes.
It can go to heirs, either relatives or people, or it can go to charity, or it can go to the government and attorneys through expenses. So obviously, most people want to avoid the expense side and the tax side, and therefore they want to maximize the amount to the heirs and to charity.
Yes.
So first of all is, okay, who am I going to leave this estate to?
Yes.
And secondly then is, and how much am I going to leave to each one of those people?
Yeah, and that's really important. So as you make that decision on the who, then the logical next question is how much? And this is one that can change over time. Ron, for our listeners wondering, especially for heirs, how much to leave, any thoughts on how they go about making that decision?
Yeah, I do. I think if you ask yourself, let's say three questions. Number one is, if I leave X amount to an heir, whatever that may be, what's the worst thing that can happen? And most people don't answer that question. You know, I had a son-in-law whose dad taught him to provide for his family. And so when that particular child was married and they were young in their careers, had we left any significant sum to them, it would have destroyed his need to provide for his family.
Yes.
And the second question then is, well, how serious is that?
Yeah.
And the answer is real serious.
Okay. Right.
And third is, what's the probability? And in this particular case, we said it's 100%. So the how much question to who, those first two steps really revolve around where you are in your life stage. So somebody that's young in their life stage in terms of a family was going to need more, if you will, than somebody like myself who's 80 years old and have children that are in their 50s. They've already made their life and they've educated their kids. So my wealth transfer or estate plan looks a lot different than it did 10, 20 years ago.
Yeah, that's really helpful, Ron. Well, we'll continue to unpack this and talk about the 6 steps of wealth transfer with Ron Blue today, just around the corner. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. When the Apostle John was visited by the risen Christ while he was exiled to the island of Patmos, he saw so many marvelous things that John said he couldn't even describe them. But one thing rang out clearly: Jesus is coming back. He's coming back, not to judge us, but to save us. And John wanted to encourage his suffering Christian family. Chapter after chapter of prophecy and visions of the end, culminating in chapter 22, this promise from Christ, "I'm coming quick, and my reward is with me." That reward is for all his people. He earned it for us. He's bringing it with him when he comes back. All we need is to trust him in the here and now. Spend more time with Jesus. Visit GetAnchor.com.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. And here's the website, chministries.org. chministries.org.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to join us Friday, July 14th for the Hearts of Fire virtual event. You'll meet 4 courageous women who showed incredible commitment to Christ in the face of intense persecution. This special event is free. Hear these inspiring testimonies of costly faith, plus worship led by Michael W. Smith. You can watch from wherever you are. Register online at heartsevent.com.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches, and we're grateful for their sponsorship of the Faith and Finance Program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Joining me today, my good friend and mentor, Ron Blue. He's the author of, among many other books, Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives. If you've been putting off the wealth transfer and estate planning conversation, perhaps today's 6 steps from Ron Blue could help you get started. Before the break, Ron, you were sharing step number 1, and that is to decide who gets the money. And you said there's only 3 places it can go: the government, heirs, or charity or ministry. And then secondly, how much? And you said that's really a question that needs to be answered with some other questions, including what's the biggest risk that exists and how likely is that to happen? And Ron, if we're going to look at our heirs through that lens, that means we may be offering differing amounts. In fact, one of the principles you share in this book is that if you love your kids equally, you will treat them uniquely. A lot of people struggle with that idea. Why do you think that's important?
Well, it's just the way God treats us, Rob. He loves us equally, but he sure treats us differently because he knows us. And I, as a parent, we have 5 children, and their personalities are different. Who they married and the families that they're raising is different.
Yes.
And so to think that just equal, that's not wrong. But you need to ask the question, really, is there a difference? And, you know, for a while there, we had a single mom daughter. Well, her needs at that particular stage of life were a lot different than her brothers and sisters.
Yes.
And so we had to take that into account when we were doing our planning. And you mentioned it earlier, is if do your giving while you're living so you're knowing where it's going. And, but before that is the idea of, I don't want to ruin my children by how I treat my estate. Mm. That's a big, big concern, and it gets bigger as you get older.
Oh, yeah, and there's not only financial implications to that, but spiritual implications as well. All right, Ron, so we've said we need to decide who gets what and how much. The third step is around the timing. Tell us about that.
I think that should occur on an ongoing basis throughout your life. So as God, you know, blessed us, we helped our children, but we never wanted to help our children by giving them something that would ruin or have a real damaging impact on their family. We didn't want to make them wealthy. We didn't want to give them mortgages, for example. We wanted them to be able to have the thrill of buying their own home and affording it. So the timing issue is one that needs to be really visited almost on an annual basis, Rob.
Yes.
Asking the question, you know, is there anything we need to do now with our children?
Yes.
Well, and that goes on and on and on throughout your life, and it changes throughout your life. So timing is very important.
With regard to your charitable giving, Ron, I know you've also said you encourage stewards not to wait to do all of their giving at death, but really they should prioritize giving throughout their life, right?
Oh, for sure, Rob. And I think one of the big reasons is that giving breaks the power of money, and it does, and it gives me joy.
Yes.
But the joy comes after I give it. It doesn't come before I give it. Okay.
Yes, that's right.
So I encourage the people that I counsel with to do their giving while they're living. You don't have to give it all away.
Yes.
But the more giving that you can do while you're enjoying the benefit of seeing other people impacted, I think is a blessing that God wants us to have. And when I'm dead, of course, I'm not going to get any joy out of the giving.
That's right.
I've left everything because I didn't have any choice.
That's right. That's an important idea. All right, Ron, let's deal with steps 4 and 5. 4 is the idea of whether or not you transfer the title when you transfer it. And then 5 is, of course, the tools and techniques. What do we need to know there?
Well, by the title, it means don't give with strings attached.
Yeah.
A lot of people manage their children by making the giving conditional. Judy and I have the philosophy that when we give, be it to a ministry or be it to a person we know or be it to our children, there are no strings attached to it. We gave it.
Yes.
And so title is a way to identify it. But when you give it, give it with no strings attached, or you haven't given it. You've really just used it to get a need met in your own life.
And then there's the tools and techniques, Ron, which is really the how of the giving, right?
Yeah, that's where you bring in the professionals that can help you with the trust, and perhaps you want to leave it to an organization like a donor advised fund. Perhaps you want to leave it to charity, but it requires different tools and techniques. And also, Rob, I think it's that we need to realize that we're dealing with your balance sheet and not your income statement. So when we're talking about what we leave and what we give, it comes out of my balance sheet, not out of my income. What comes out of my income is my tithes and offerings. This
yes.
giving that we're talking about is giving out of your net worth, giving out of the things that God has blessed you with, and it can require a lot of professional advice from the tax standpoint and from the legal standpoint. But make sure that when you give, you've given. No strings attached.
Oh, that's really helpful. And by the way, if you want a professional to help you with all of this, you can find a certified Kingdom advisor in your area at faithfi.com. All right, Ron, we're down to the final step, number six, and this one is about talking. What do we need to know here?
I believe that an heir to your estate, when the will is read, should not be surprised. In other words, throughout your life, you can communicate with your children your philosophy, your belief system, your values, and have family conferences. I know a lot of people with significant wealth. In fact, I know one family that has a quarterly family conference. And they talk about the estate, and they talk about where things are going to go. So the way that I would phrase it is you don't want to have a coping gap. And a coping gap with your heirs is where their expectations are different than reality. So you have these conferences in order to pass on values, beliefs, and teaching. And you're helping your children think also, and they then understand why you did what you did. So that there's not a surprise. They don't have to ask the question, why in the world did my parents do this?
Yeah.
Should not happen.
That's really helpful. Ron, just about 30 seconds left. What final thoughts would you leave us with on this topic of wealth transfer?
The final thought would be, this is really important. So don't, it's never urgent.
Yeah.
Until maybe it's too late, but it's really important. So start with that step one and two, and I don't like to promote my own books, but the book Splitting Heirs is one that I wrote after counseling thousands of people, and I do think there's things in there and processes in there that can be helpful.
Yes,
and it's very important.
It sure is. Well, Ron, we are always grateful for our time with you. Thanks for stopping by and sharing these important ideas.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Ron doesn't want to promote it, but I will. Pick up a copy of Splitting Heirs, Giving Your Money and Things to Your Children Without Ruining Their Lives. You'll be glad you did. We'll be right back with much more. Stick around.
Too often, parents treat teenagers like old children instead of young adults. Next time on Focus on the Family, we'll examine what planned emancipation looks like, giving your teens more and more control over their own lives. You'll learn how you can help your teen grow up on the next Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
AFA is no longer dependent on Facebook or YouTube to live stream our original programming. As of now, American Family Radio shows like Today's Issues, The Court, Airing the Addisons, and The Hamilton Corner are streaming live on the AFA streaming app. Independent live streaming is the next step as we come out from among them and separate ourselves unto the Lord. Search AFA Streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
If you've listened any length of time, you're aware that we often underscore the importance of preparing for the future. Well, as you look into the future, I suggest you consider the AFA Foundation in your estate planning. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345. That's 800-326-4543, extension 345.
As the leading advocate for the Christian financial industry, Kingdom Advisors serves the public by promoting the integration of a biblical worldview across every aspect of the financial services industry. And we serve a growing network of thousands of Christian financial professionals, equipping and empowering them to carry biblical financial wisdom to their clients, peers, and community. For more information, visit KingdomAdvisors.com. That's KingdomAdvisors.com.
Grateful to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. It's time to take your calls and questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Again, 800-525-7000. We'd love to know what you're thinking about financially, and we'll help you apply biblical wisdom, the principles and passages from God's Word to the decisions and choices you're making today, whether it's your lifestyle, your giving, that which you owe for debt or for taxes, or what you're trying to grow, maybe for short-term or long-term savings. Whatever that is, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. You know, as we search Scripture, we find that we are, of course, accountable to our Creator for the things He has entrusted to us. This realization should be a powerful motivator for us to leverage all that we have for God's glory. After all, everything we own belongs to Him, and He gives us the resources we have to meet our needs, according to Philippians 4:19. Now, He may provide an abundance for us in a season so we can meet the needs of others, or He may allow us to experience lack, often so that we might benefit from the generosity of another believer. The Bible makes it clear, though, that Christians are not promised material wealth, neither financial abundance nor the lack thereof is an indication of an individual's faithfulness. On the contrary, God uses financial abundance as a tool to refine and reveal our faithfulness. What counts is what we do with what has been entrusted to us. You see, if we find ourselves with an abundance, whether great or small, God calls us to serve and glorify Him with it through our generosity. And so the big idea here is faithfulness to opportunity. What has God entrusted to you today? And what season are you in? Might you be in a season where others need to come alongside you and help you? Or maybe you have more than you need and you can share with others, but it's according to our ability. Our faithfulness is the ultimate goal. We want to help you be that wise and faithful steward on this program, and we'd love to hear from you today. Again, we've got some lines open. We're ready to dive into your questions today, so you can call right now. 800-525-7000. Let's begin in Nebraska. Alan, you'll be our first caller. Go ahead, sir.
Hello. I just want to say thanks for taking my call. I've been listening for a few years, learned a lot, and I really appreciate your ministry.
Well, thank you.
Should I just dive right in?
Yeah, absolutely. Tell me what you got.
Yep. So I have about $110,000 in student loan debt. Right. I've got a car loan, no interest at 64. 100, and then I've got a home gym loan at no interest for 2,200. And so my take-home pay after taxes and child support and all that stuff is about 5,200 per month. And so I'm really wanting to aggressively get after that student loan payment and get that done as quick as I can, since that's at 6.8% interest starting in September. My question to you, I have a little bit over $10,000 in my emergency fund, which is not quite 3 months worth, but I've been considering taking some of my emergency fund, paying off my car, possibly that home loan or that home gym loan, and just really put that money towards the student loan and just get that done as soon as I can.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I like where you're headed with this. Do you know if the 0% on the car, is that that's for the life of the loan, I assume, correct?
Correct, yep.
All right. And then for the home gym, does that expire at some point? And is the interest retroactive, or is it just on the remaining portion?
I believe it's just on the remaining portion. Okay. I could double check that, but I'm pretty sure
yeah,
it's zero.
That would be good to know. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'd hate for you to take, you know, 8,600 of this 10,000, and even though you'd free up some money. I'd hate for you to drain that down. I mean, if you feel like you've got a stable income, there's nothing you anticipate. I mean, probably the best case scenario is to, you know, wipe out the car, you know, at 6,400, although it is at 0%. So there's really not any incentive there. Are you able to, you know, once these payments start to kick back in on the student loan, are you able to cover that out of current cash flow? And then second part to that would be, do you have any surplus above and beyond the minimum payment?
Yeah, I'll be able to cover the payment. It'll be tight. Surplus, maybe like $50 extra a month. It won't be a lot.
Yeah. Okay. And do you feel like this car is going to carry you for a while?
I do. Yep. It's a 2019 and I've mechanically taken the best care of it that I can. So I hope it'll last a while.
Sure. Sure. Okay. Well, I mean, obviously paying off the car, even though it's at 0%, would free up that car payment. And then you could take that and start applying that to the student loans. You know, at some point you'd need to replace that, but hopefully that's much further down the road. You know, I'd also love for you to build up that emergency fund a bit more, you know, than you have now, so that especially if you're going to plan on driving this car for a while, that you've got something to fall back on and we're not relying on credit cards if you had a major expense or something, you know, come out of left field. So I think perhaps one option is just to, you know, wipe out the car loan, try to just continue to service the debt on the gym and get that paid off by the end of that term where the 0% expires through the car payment that you free up. And once that's paid off, then I think, you know, we probably want to split it between getting the emergency fund where it needs to be and accelerating those student loan payments. Once you've got a fully funded emergency fund at 3 months' expenses, then I think we can focus entirely on the student loans. Obviously, those are going to be around for a while. I realize with the interest rate, you know, that you've got, you want to get that paid off just as quick as you can. What about your housing situation? Do you own a home or are you renting?
I'm currently renting.
Okay. And are you wanting to try to start to build a down payment there?
Yep. I would love to do that. I figured that'd be a priority after I get the loans paid off. So.
Yeah. But wait, you're going to wait till after the student loans paid off, or would you like to try to do it before that?
Ideally before, but
yeah,
financially, I figured it'd be a better idea to wait until the loans are paid off, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think that's right. I think the key is just, you know, hopefully with bonuses and increases in pay over time, if you can keep your lifestyle locked down, then, you know, we can deal with that out of surpluses down the road. Stay on the line. We'll finish up off the air and we'll be right back.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
What do we do when people mistreat us? How do we respond? If we listen to the voices of the world around us, we will be no different than they are. God seems to have a different plan.
Dr. David Jeremiah continues his series, The Tender Warrior, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the Faith and Finance program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and FaithFi is here to help you and many others to be wise stewards of God's resources. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from FaithFi patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. please consider becoming a monthly FaithFi patron. Visit faithfi.com and click Give on the homepage.
Hi, this is Todd Nettleton with the Voice of the Martyrs Radio, inviting you to the Hearts of Fire virtual event on July 14th. This is a one-of-a-kind virtual event that highlights stories from persecuted Christians around the world. This event will benefit the global body of Christ and inspire you in your own walk of faith. Hear from four persecuted Christians, plus join in worship along with Michael W. Smith. To register as an individual or host this event at your church, visit heartsevent.com.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience, and she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Coming up in just a few minutes, some financial potholes to avoid. That's right. We want to look at some potholes that can shake up your bank account, help you save some money, and steer clear of these things that can trip you up in your spending. That's just around the corner. We've also got some lines open today, taking your calls and questions at 800-525-7000. There's probably something over the holiday weekend you were thinking about. It's kind of been gnawing at you there in your financial life. You'd like some help moving forward with confidence. We'd be happy to help you do that. The team is standing by to take your calls at 800-525-7000. You know, our previous caller just before the break was talking about student loans. Of course, student loan borrowers are now bracing to begin making payments again in October after a three-year hiatus due to the pandemic. A lot of folks concerned, economically speaking, at potentially high default rates, just given how long it's been since folks, especially with high debt levels on student loan payments, we've not had to incorporate them into our budgets. Now, all of a sudden, this expense is introduced, often with higher interest rates, and that's going to be a challenge for many folks living paycheck to paycheck. This, of course, is coming after the Supreme Court last week struck down the Biden administration's attempt to sign away or transfer $400 billion in student loan debt to the national debt. That, of course, stopped in its tracks, at least at this point, by the Supreme Court. You know, advisors are recommending a four-step process for borrowers to minimize the impact of resuming these payments. First of all, make sure your contact information is current at studentaid.gov. You don't want to miss billing statements and due dates, so good idea, just given how long it's been, for you to check that out, make sure it's current, especially if you've moved. Connect with your loan servicer. You want to make sure your loan servicer also has your most up-to-date contact information. If you are struggling financially, consider with a federal loan applying for an income-driven repayment plan. We want to avoid that if at all possible, because that's just going to slow down the payback. But if you're struggling financially, it is one of the features of a federal student loan that you have the ability to throttle that payment according to your income. And so if you need to take advantage of that in order to keep it current, well, by all means, do so. And then I would say estimate your monthly payment and sign up for an auto debit, just so you don't miss those, especially because you're out of the habit. But be ready for that. It's coming in October, obviously, as we see payments resume again on student loans. And obviously, we want you to be well planned and well prepared for that. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. We've got some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you with your financial questions. All right, let's tackle some financial potholes to avoid before we head to the phones. These can be things that will really put a dent in your spending plan on occasion. We want to help you avoid these headaches and help you steer clear of these. First of all is money transfer scams. Don't send money from your bank account just because someone asks for it. You should be the one to initiate any transfer and, of course, verify the recipient. Free trials can be a pothole. Don't sign up for a service just because you get 3 months free or 2 weeks free when the trial period is up. They will, of course, charge you. It's why they want that credit card up front. Chances are you'll forget to cancel, and so just stay away from free trials. Auto-renewing subscriptions. Along the same lines, people tend to forget about magazine, music, and streaming service subscriptions, which will continue to renew until the end of time. So you can save money and cancel as many as you can, and that will go a long way. There's even some apps out there that will actually help you identify those subscriptions that you have out there and maybe cancel them with all of them with a click of a button. But I think the bottom line is there's a lot of opportunity there as you go through each of those auto-renewing subscriptions and get those canceled. Be careful with cashback rewards. Many credit cards offer cashback rewards, but it pays to read the fine print. Remember, cashback only happens when you spend money. So the temptation is to overspend just to get the rewards. Reward cards are fine for regular in-budget spending, but some reward programs come with restrictions on how much or what you can buy, so just be careful there. Beware of phone and email scams. Never click on links in suspicious-looking emails or texts. I would say even be careful about those that don't look suspicious. They're very good at impersonating financial institutions you may already do business with the email address that it's coming from, even the company's logo there, right there in the email. So just never share your personal information, access codes, passwords, or PIN numbers by phone or email. Always initiate that conversation directly before you decide to give out any information at all. And if you aren't sure, look up the company's phone number on the internet and call them directly, or you initiate that contact through the internet directly to their URL. Just don't react to anything in an email by clicking a link. Bill pay services. Paying your bills automatically can be really convenient. I do it. But don't just set it and forget it. Always keep enough in your account to pay the upcoming bills. Review your auto bills periodically to be sure the charges are correct. And this goes for credit card charges. You can use the FaithFi app to keep track of your monthly spending and check out any auto charges that seem unusual. You can download our app to help you do that. Set up your spending plan at faithfi.com. That's faithfi.com. And just click the app button. We can, of course, list many other financial potholes, including begging letters from Nigeria, title fraud insurance, and timeshare offers. But perhaps we'll save those for another day. In the meantime, there are three positive things you can do to keep your finances traveling smoothly. First of all, use strong, unique passwords on all of your accounts. Second, keep your software updated. And third, again, download the FaithFi app and set up a personalized spending plan. It will also give you visibility into where your money's going so you can give every dollar a name. Again, you can download it today, faithfi.com, faithfi.com. Just click app. All right, it's time to take some of your calls today between now and the end of the program, 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. To Texas we go. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead, sir. Hi, Jerry. Go ahead.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How can I help you?
Quick question. I've got two mortgages, my primary and a rental investment. Not too much left on either, so it's basically principal. Just wondering whether I should pay them off and get rid of that debt, and or is paying off that investment property going to hurt me as far as tax, you know, being able to save on tax?
Yeah, great question, Jerry. So what is the balance roughly on both of those mortgages? How much do you owe on each?
17 on one and 30 on the other. The investment is the 30.
I got it. All right. And what are the interest rates on them?
They're before they went up, I've had the properties, the investment property for about 16 years and my primary longer than that.
All right. Are they fixed or variable?
They're they are fixed.
Okay. Both around 4%, did you say?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And let's do this. I've got to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to weigh in on this. I've got one or two more questions, then we'll talk about where you go from here. Joy in Virginia, we're coming your way as well. Just you hang on the line, and we'll be right back with Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Don Hawkins, here to tell you about Encouragement Live. 55 minutes of industrial strength radio encouragement featuring resourceful guests plus practical biblical insights to help you face life's challenges. We'll be taking your phone calls, so plan to join us for Encouragement Live, Saturdays at 7:05 p.m. Central, 8:05 p.m. Eastern, here on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Have you downloaded the FaithFi app yet? You need to do that today, because this is going to make your life easier. Yes, you can manage your money through the in-app envelope feature, but also plan out future goals. I want to buy a house in 5 years, and I'm on track to do that. Here's also what I like. You can connect with people around the country. It's like social media, but better. Ask a question, get an answer, and share what you're learning about money and investing. So why don't you grab your phone right now and download the FaithFi app?
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the Faith and Finance program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Here in our final segment, we'll get to as many calls as we can, 800-525-7000. We've got room for maybe one or two more questions between now and the end of the broadcast. Before the break, we were talking to Jerry in Texas. Jerry has two properties, one his primary residence, the second an investment property. He's owned both of them for quite a while. He's close to paying them both off as well. They've got low interest rates, around 4%. He owes $17,000 on the primary, $30,000 on the investment property, and just wondering if he should go ahead and pay those off. Let me ask you, Jerry, what funds would you use to pay these off if you did?
So I've got a pension set aside that once I received it, because it was not growing in that pension fund any longer, I took it and put it into an IRA and asked my financial advisor not to invest it, because I was thinking of possibly buying some more rental property. So it's kind of stagnant, not growing. I was afraid that if I put it in an account someplace, I was going to lose a portion of it.
Yeah. All right. What, are you fully retired now, or are you working in another job?
I'm still working.
Okay. All right. How much is in that IRA now from the pension?
About $120,000.
Okay. And are you currently saving in another retirement plan in your new employment?
I have been active in my 401 and been contributing 20% my part, and then my employer also contributes.
Great. And how far away would you say retirement is, just based on everything you know today?
I would say a couple of years.
Okay. And do you have a good sense of how much you'll need in retirement assets to supplement Social Security in order to maintain your lifestyle?
I don't. Right now, I just have a feel for what my Social Security benefit might be. And that's very, very close to my current take-home pay.
Okay. So if you have that, and let's say these both of these properties are paid off, you feel like you'll be able to cover all of your expenses with only Social Security, I would imagine, right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I mean, I guess the only question is, you know, whether you want to go ahead and invest this. Here's the reality. You know, once you reach retirement, let's say the Lord tarries and you're in good health, I mean, you still have a decades-long need for this money. So I think getting this into a proper investment allocation where we can grow this over time, I realize that's adding risk. There's no question about that. But, you know, let's say a 70-30 portfolio in retirement where you've got 70% in fixed income, bond type investments, which, by the way, will do well as interest rates come down and give you a nice stable income plus a growth component, but where you're looking long term, because again, you have a decades long need for this money, both for the IRA and the 401k, that makes a lot of sense to me for you to have that working for you, continuing to grow that, which will create an engine either for, you know, additional giving, or it could be, you know, if you needed to go into long-term care at some point down the road, you know, that can be, depending on, you know, what kind of care you need, that could be $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000 a month. I mean, that could erode your assets in a hurry. So I think having these retirement accounts working for you, even if you don't need them month to month as you're hitting retirement, which is great, I think would be a, you know, a good thing for you, but it would mean that you'd have to get these invested, perhaps hiring an advisor to manage the 120 today and then ultimately the rollover from the 401k when you retire in a couple of years. And then I guess my goal would be for you to pay off these properties out of current cash flow if you can between now and retirement so that you're, as you're entering retirement, you know, you've got these paid off. And I guess that would be the question is, could you do that out of current cash flow without paying off or taking out of the IRA for one or both and preserve this money and get it working for you? Give me your thoughts on that, though.
I feel pretty confident that our current situation, we would be able to pay with the income that my wife and I have.
Okay.
And so that leads me to the B part of the question. So then this money that I have set aside that's not working in any way that I would have used to pay off the mortgages, could I use it instead to maybe buy another rental property, which is my interest cash?
You certainly could, and I think that's another option because now we're saying, okay, with the 401k that you're putting 20% plus your employer match into, hopefully that's invested in mutual funds that are balanced, stocks and bonds. That's your kind of stock and bond allocation, and then you're further diversifying into additional real estate holdings, which clearly have done well for you. I like that a lot. Have you heard of something called a self-directed IRA?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so that would be an opportunity for you to actually buy a piece of property using the IRA money without taking the withdrawal and creating a taxable event. So that might be something I would look at where you'd look at using the 120, moving that into a self-directed IRA custodian. They're not all custodians do these self-directed IRAs. They're a little more niche type investments, but there's plenty of them that do, and you wouldn't have to create a huge taxable event by pulling the money out, and you could still get it working for you in a piece of real estate. So I might look at that as an opportunity, and then like we talked about, out of current cash flow, just set a goal to have both of the existing mortgages paid off by the time you reach retirement, and then pick up that next property using the self-directed IRA.
Sounds like a good plan to look into.
All right. Do some research on that. Again, it would avoid you creating a taxable event, allow you to add to your real estate portfolio. And I think that can make a lot of sense, especially with you having the 401k as well, also working for you in stocks and bonds. Jerry, if we can help you further along the way, don't hesitate to reach out. God bless you, my friend. Thanks for calling today. To Virginia. Hi, Joy. Go ahead.
Hi. Hi. Thank you so much for taking my call. I have learned so much in the last year from y'all and just enjoy your show. But
that's great.
What one thing I have learned is why I'm asking this question.
Okay.
My mother owns a home free and clear in Florida, and several years ago she put me on the deed with her, and it will be mine when she passes. However, I've learned from y'all that that may not be wise because I would have to pay capital gains taxes, correct?
That's
from
right.
From the purchase price?
Yes.
Okay. So, since she's already done that, is that undoable?
Yes. I would definitely check with a real estate attorney just to make sure you've covered your bases. But yes, in theory, you should be able to remove your name from the deed by filing a quit claim deed, essentially where that portion that is currently yours, you would gift, back to your mom. That would be fine because you've got plenty of lifetime gift exclusion there. And then you could inherit the property and enjoy that step up in basis, which would eliminate
right.
capital gains taxes if you were to turn around and sell it, soon after inheriting it. I would always, when we're doing these kinds of things, check with a real estate attorney to help you take, advantage of these opportunities.
Okay, and is that law that we're speaking about, is that, not universal, but across the board federally, it's not based on state to state?
That's right. Yeah, it has to do with capital gains taxes, which are federal. Anybody who inherits property from a federal level would enjoy that step up in basis.
Okay. Well, here's a little bit another part to throw into the scenario. I am on disability. I'm almost totally blind. And I had heard recently from another blind friend that if you were on disability or handicapped, that you could avoid, I don't know what you have to file, taxes on things like this. Is that correct?
I'm not aware of that. It certainly may be true. Do you use a CPA to file your taxes each year, or do you do that yourself?
We use a CPA, and we also have a financial advisor.
Oh, great. Yeah, sounds like you're well planned. Yeah, I would just check in with your CPA on that. Let he or she advise you on that. There may well be some opportunities there. There are plenty of provisions that relate mm-hmm. to certain disabilities, and they could give you some specific current information on that.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much. And for your ministry, we greatly enjoy it. Thank you.
Well, thank you, Joy. I appreciate you very much. Thanks for calling today. Milton, I've got less than 60 seconds. Give me your question quickly.
Yes, my question is about first-time home buyer. I recently moved from Florida to Alabama, and one of the houses I was trying to buy, the bank told me that in order to reduce the interest rate, it was required by the federal law to, in this situation right now, to buy the points. So I could have bought 0.25 points, 1 or 2 points, to lower the interest rate from 7.25 to about 6.75. So I would like your advice on that.
Yeah, I don't typically like buying rates down, and I'm not sure why they said you were required to do that. So let's do this. I'm going to have you stay on the line. We'll get a bit more information about your question, and we'll see if we can get you back on the program tomorrow to talk about this further. Milton, hang on the line. Our team will grab your information, and we'll be in touch with you. By the way, folks, you're looking for a mortgage, and you'd like a partner that shares your values, check out Movement Mortgage at movement.com/faith. Great partners of ours here at Faith and Finance and American Family Radio. Hey, I couldn't do this without my team, Pat Montague, Devin Patrick, and Jim Henry. Hope you have a great rest of your day. Thanks for being with us on the program. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.